My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy, former federal prosecutor who led the prosecution of the Blind Sheikh and others for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and plots against other landmarks in the tri-state area. He is now a contributing editor and columnist for National Review. His writing has been considered by many to be must-read as the ongoing Mueller investigation continues, as well as what exactly happened in terms of surveillance or observation of the Trump campaign during the 2016 election season. And his latest column deals with reporting that first arose from Catherine Herridge over at Fox News. Andy believes it sheds more light on an essential conflict of interest for Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's my pleasure.
Well, as you write today, and as Catherine reported over at Fox News, there's more and more reporting now, and it seems pretty clear that Rod Rosenstein has threatened to issue subpoenas against various Senate staffers as part of the ongoing back and forth between congressional investigators and the Justice Department about relevant documents here. Why do you believe this is more evidence that he's in an untenable situation?
He's clearly been in an untenable situation, even if this had not happened. I think it may be the Senate committee. I'm sure the House committee is involved. It's been obvious for a while now, really since the day that he appointed Mueller, that since that event was triggered by Comey's dismissal, and Rosenstein is and has always been an essential witness if you're going to investigate Comey's dismissal as a potential criminal violation. I don't personally believe there's a legal theory that's viable for that, but doesn't matter what I think. Mueller is actually investigating it with Rosenstein's approval. Rosenstein is Mueller's superior for purposes of this investigation. So with Rosenstein's approval, he is investigating that as a potential obstruction of justice. It's pretty black letter conflict of interest law that where an attorney is an actor in the facts of an investigation, he can't act as the lawyer for one of the parties in the case. It's really a conflict of interest that can't be solved. And then you put the overlay on that of the House investigation and the Senate Judiciary Committee investigation of the investigators, this investigation of whether there were irregularities in the manner in which the Obama administration used its national security powers to do surveillance on people connected to the Trump campaign. In the midst of that, you have a bunch of FISA warrants that were issued, the last one of which was issued on the approval of Rosenstein himself. So he's yet again in a position of acting as the attorney general in connection with an investigation where his own behavior is the subject of scrutiny. And I guess as I say that, Greg, it occurs to me that it's important to underscore here, I am not accusing Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein of violating the law or of doing anything wrong, much less criminal. I'm simply pointing out that it's not an accusation or an attack on someone's integrity to say that he has a conflict of interest, which makes it unethical for him to perform as a lawyer in the situation. Once your conduct is part of the subject matter that's under scrutiny, you have to get out of the case.
So what does it tell us if he doesn't, given this conflict of interest?
Well, I think, you know, when you're laboring under a conflict of interest, that ratchets up the pressure on everything. It ratchets up the scrutiny that you're under, and you're apt to make mistakes and to do the sort of things he's now been, it's now been reported that he's done, including flying off the handle in a very inappropriate way with Senate investigators or House investigators. And again, I don't want to be hypocritical here. I am in no way a stranger to the notion that when you're dealing with people who are in an adversarial posture to you in a high-stakes litigation where there's a lot of pressure, people do lose their temper. People do fly off the handle from time to time. I don't think it's that big of a deal in a vacuum that Rosenstein may have lost his temper and threatened to subpoena people. I mean, you would hope that he counted to 10 or someone got in his ear and calmed him down, and then perhaps he apologized. At least that's what I would hope would happen. But the broader picture here is you're dealing with somebody who is in a very difficult position. It would be a difficult position for anybody who even was not somebody who had a conflict of interest in the equation, because he has the institutional interest of protecting the Justice Department, and at the same time he has the legal obligation to comply with lawful demands for information from Congress, which has a right to conduct oversight. So he's in a difficult spot no matter what. But if you add to that equation the fact that he's laboring under these severe conflicts of interest, I think it's a really untenable situation.
Two quick questions before we let you go. Andy, you mentioned that you don't think he's done anything illegal at this point, but what do you make of his refusal, or at least his slow playing the turning over of documents repeatedly requested on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, well, I think that it's now gotten to the point, Greg, where this is really over-the-top stonewalling. And I say that as somebody who is very mindful and deferential to the fact that the Justice Department has to try to protect national security information, particularly important national defense secrets and the methods and sources for gathering intelligence. And I think, therefore, that it was appropriate to cut Rosenstein some slack along the way to at least raise with the House committee the important concerns and considerations involved in making disclosure in an area where you have a lot of classified information. But there's always the temptation in the executive branch, particularly, to use the fact that you have classified information and that you can designate things as classified as a kind of a dark box to hide things that are embarrassing and worse. And Congress should listen respectfully to the executive branch's concerns about disclosure, but ultimately Congress has the right to conduct this oversight. It does so on behalf of the American people. It cannot be that any branch of government, particularly one that has as awesome powers as the executive branch does, and specifically the components of it, the Justice Department and the FBI, they cannot be beyond oversight and scrutiny. And basically the position they're taking is that they're an unaccountable fourth branch of government. That's simply not acceptable.
So, Andy, logistically speaking, what could Rosenstein do here to alleviate this conflict of interest? If he were to step aside, obviously, there'd be political howls all over the place. Sessions has already recused himself. Would it just fall to another subordinate official at the Justice Department? How would it actually work?
Yeah, well, presumably, Greg, if he were to recuse himself, it would fall to the next in line, who would be the Solicitor General, would be the third-ranking official in the Justice Department. But, you know, when you're making a decision about conflict of interest, the question that you're supposed to answer as a lawyer is, do I have a conflict of interest? It's obviously a matter of importance what happens after you're gone, but if you're disqualified, you're disqualified. And the question whether you have a conflict or you don't have a conflict doesn't hinge on whether it's going to be difficult to replace you or not. You know, it's a big old country with a lot of lawyers. They can find somebody else to run this investigation.
So it doesn't matter what exactly happens. Something will take your place. You're not that indispensable, and you need to step down if the conflict exists, which in this case it certainly seems to. Andy, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Andrew McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, now a contributing editor and columnist at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.